Thank you for joining us for the True Life Fellowship Church podcast. Here is today's message from Pastor Devon Alexander.
Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." Now, everybody look at me. That last part, "those that resist will bring judgment on themselves," really stood out to me because I'm called to help you reach your destiny. I'm called so that people will experience true life. And if you're experiencing judgment, you're probably not experiencing true life. And so as in studying and reading this passage of scripture, you got to understand the background is Paul wrote this while the Roman Empire was reigning in the land. And this regime was not a democratic republic. And this regime was very unfriendly to Christians. And as I was meditating and studying what we're going to talk about today, I'm reminded that the first time that I ever voted was 1996. That was when I was eligible to vote. It was Bill Clinton and Bob Dole at the time. And some of you weren't even old enough, but some of you definitely remember that. And that was the first time I ever voted. And the first time as a pastor, we started the church in July of 2011. And then we had an election come that November of 2012. And that was the first time as a pastor that I had to be a part of an election. And Barack Obama won the election that year against Mitt Romney. And I just told the church that particular year, we need to pray for Barack Obama. Well, little did I know, the opposition, just from saying we need to pray for the elected official, the opposition that rose up was tremendous. And one particular family, a minority family, by the way, said, "We cannot pray for Barack Obama and we are leaving the church." And so I said, "Oh my goodness." And at that point, I'm trying to get in contact with them, trying to meet with them and that sort of thing. You know, I'm really 1 year into this thing and I'm trying to, what's going on? And he wouldn't meet with me or that sort of thing. And that's fine. Now I'm in year 10 and if you want to go, you can go. But in year one, it was, you know, I was trying to keep people and all that thing and so on and so forth. And so I thought, man, this is crazy. And I wish the Lord gave me this word in 2012. Well, in 2016, Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, and Donald Trump won. I said, we need to pray for Donald Trump. And I had people say, I can't pray for Donald Trump. I'm not going. We had a prayer meeting. I'm not even going to show up at the prayer meeting because I can't pray for Donald Trump. I thought, what kind of mess is going on that people literally are so emotional and they're so caught up in their party or their feelings and or their reasoning, and they can't even solicit a prayer for the elected official in Donald Trump. Well, then now we're in 2020. We just come through a tumultuous election season. And you find out here that in scripture, Paul is underneath the Roman Empire. There's an emperor there. This is not a republic. There's no elected officials here. But Paul tells us that every soul should be subject to governing authorities. Every soul. There is no authority except from God. And the authority that exists are appointed by God. And this authority today, primarily, I'm talking about all authority, delegated authority. We're going to talk about governmental authority. We're going to talk about civil authority. We're going to talk about church authority. We're going to talk about social authority where you work. These are all delegated authorities. And the origin of all authority goes back to God. The origin of all authority goes back to God. And Paul tells us here, let every soul, this is a command, and no one is exempt. Let every soul be subject to or to voluntarily place themselves under submission to the governing authorities. Every soul, There's no exceptions. It's subject to the authority because God has appointed all authority. Every soul is subject to authority because God has appointed all authority. And when you oppose God's delegated authority, you oppose God himself. When you oppose God's delegated authority, you oppose God himself. Several years ago, now over a decade ago, wow, this is crazy. Time is moving, but time flies when you're having fun. I was working in corporate America, and I was in an entry-level job. I was in a call center making $28,500 a year. And we had what they call Jean Day. You could wear jeans to work on Fridays. And on Jean Day, you had to tuck in your shirt, though, on this day. And everybody was required to still keep their shirt tucked in, but you could wear jeans to work. And so I would wear jeans, but a polo, I would wear a polo with my jeans. And a polo's not supposed to be tucked in, right? You're supposed to wear the polo out. And so I would come to work with my polo out. And everybody else would come to work with their shirts out. And my boss, his name was Mike DeGifford, I'll never forget. Mike DeGifford would walk by 25 people that had their shirt untucked to come to me to tell me to tuck my shirt in. And I would tuck my shirt in, and then the next Friday would come, and I would have my shirt out. And Mike DeGifford would walk by 25 people. I'm watching him walk by them. Don't say anything to him. Walk right up to me and say, "Devon, tuck in your shirt." I tucked in my shirt. It happened the next Friday. Had it out. He walked by 25 more people and said, "Devon, tuck in your shirt, but I'm not going to tell you that anymore." Well, I thought, well, my goodness, first of all, I'm a grown man, okay? That's number one. And number two, you know, I'm put your finger in my face, you know, and what's going on here? My goodness, you just walked by 25 other people with their shirt off. And I got in the car that day and drove, and the Lord said, "You are rebellious." That's what he told me. I said, "What?" He said, "You are in rebellion." I thought, but what about all these other 25 people that don't have their shirt tucked in? He said, "I can't use you." That's what God told me. I can't use you because you're rebellious, and I can't work with rebellion. I thought, man, we just talking about tucking in the shirt. God said, "I can't use you." So he told me, he said, go back to your boss, and I want you to walk in this office. I want you to apologize for him having to tell you three times to tuck in your shirt. I'm a grown man. I walked into his office. We shut the door. I said, "Mike, I want to talk to you. I said, first of all, I want to apologize to you for having to tell me to tuck my shirt in. You'll never have to do it again." He got up. He said, "Shut the door." We shut the door. He said, "Sit down." He said, "Listen, these other folks ain't going nowhere, but you're going somewhere. And I don't want anything to cause you not to go to the places that you're supposed to go. There's something on your life, and I see it. These other folks, it ain't on their life, but there's something on your life, and you got to go somewhere. And these little things, like shirt untucked, that will hinder you from going to the place you need to be." And how many of you know, when I got promoted at that company three times in 2 years, how many of you know you need some good references when you get promoted? When you oppose God's delegated authority, you oppose God himself. And too often believers profess submission to God, but neglect submission to authority. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. We're going to read a lot of scripture today, so I want you to focus your attentions on the screen. We do have the notes in the app for you to follow along later. I want you to go back and listen to the message and follow the notes. But watch this in Psalm 75, 6 and 7. "For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another." Who's the judge? Who's the judge? Who's the judge? Daniel 4:32. Daniel 4:32. It says, "Until you learn that God Most High is in control of all earthly kingdoms and that he is the one who chooses their rulers. Who chooses their rulers? Who chooses their rulers? Open up your mouth. Come on. Who chooses the rulers? So God puts down one, look at me, and exalts the other. And it says God chooses the rulers. Some of you may say, well, Pastor, are you telling me that God put Hitler, an evil, wicked ruler, in charge? I mean, did God do this? Well, let me give you a biblical example. Let's look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, at the time, he had an average nation. An average nation. Pharaoh had a dream. God used Joseph to interpret the dream. That dream made Pharaoh the most powerful king in the land. That dream made Pharaoh and Egypt the most powerful country in the land. Who gave Pharaoh the dream? Huh? Did Joseph give Pharaoh the dream? Did Pharaoh give himself the dream? Who gave Pharaoh the dream? And did the dream make him wealthy? Pharaoh ends up enslaving the Hebrews for 400 plus years, murdering their babies. Who promoted Pharaoh? I knew it'd get quiet in here, because I want to test your theology with the word of God. I want you to read these scriptures literally. Literally. Nebuchadnezzar. How many of you heard of Nebuchadnezzar? King of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, wicked king. Always enslaved the Hebrews. Always killed the Hebrews when he took over. Destroyed their temples. Nebuchadnezzar was ruthless and wicked. He wanted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He wanted them to worship the golden image. We're talking about wicked, evil Nebuchadnezzar. Look at Jeremiah 25, verse 9. Jeremiah 25, verse 9, it says, behold, this is God, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Pause, look at me. Did Nebuchadnezzar say that he was God's servant, or did God call him my servant? Did God just say that Nebuchadnezzar was my servant? I know it's quiet. I know. Jeremiah 27, verse 5 and 6. Jeremiah 27, verse 5 and 6. I have made the earth. This is the Lord talking. The man and the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. Interesting. Look at the next verse. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and watch again, my servant. This is very interesting. Nebuchadnezzar hated the Hebrews, but God says, I've given him all of the land, and he is my servant. Very, very interesting. We see Pharaoh brutally mistreat the Hebrews, and God gives him the dream that promotes him. Listen to this statement that I'm going to read to you. Hear it clearly. God appoints nations' leaders. God appoints nations' leaders. That word appoint means assigns, ordains, anoints, sets, and he doesn't do it by chance. No one in leadership is by accident. No one in leadership is by chance. But you may say, but what if they cheated? What if there's massive corruption going on? God appoints the nation's leaders. What I want to do is challenge your thinking, because I want you to go home and say, you know what? I'm going to get some scriptures and find something different, and you won't find it. God appoints nations' leaders. Not by chance, not by accident. God appoints them. Now watch this. He appoints the leaders, but not always to bless the people. You can see that with Pharaoh. You can see that with Nebuchadnezzar. Not always to bless the people. Sometimes it's to judge the people or to ripen the nation for judgment. God appoints nations' leaders, but not always to bless the people. Sometimes it's to judge the people or to ripen the nation for judgment. God appoints these nations' leaders. I love what I used to think when Saul became the king of Israel. This is what I used to think until I just grabbed my Bible and started reading it. I used to think that the people wanted Saul. And that is true. 1 Samuel 8, the people wanted a king. They didn't want Saul necessarily. They wanted a king. The people said, we want a king. God said, I want to be your king. Samuel is the prophet saying, allow me to continue to be the judge over the people. And they said, no, we want a king. We want to be like every nation. We want a king. And Samuel's telling them, God doesn't want you to have a king. God wants to be your king. They said, no, we want a king. And I used to think that the people chose Saul to be their king until you look at 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. 1 Samuel 10, verse 1, Samuel, watch this, took a flask of oil, poured it on his head, that means an anointing and an appointment, and kissed Saul and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you? Not Samuel, not the people. The Lord has anointed you. If you look at verse 24 of that same chapter, 1 Samuel 10, verse 24, Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him in all the people? So all the people shouted and said, long live the king. Look at me. The Lord chose Saul. Oh, but we think we know everything about God. Like we got it all figured out and we know everything about God and all aspects and all facets of God. And we know what he's doing and we can figure him out and we know it. God literally appointed wicked people in leadership. And then he anointed Saul. It didn't say the people anointed him. I used to think the people anointed. It didn't say the people anointed him. It said the Lord chose him and anointed him. Our job is to believe that God will do his job. Now, what are believers to do regarding authority? 1 Peter 2:17. What are believers to do regarding authority? Watch this. What are we to do? Peter says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Somebody say, honor the king. Now that word honor, look at me, means respect and appreciate. Honor means respect and appreciate. Now Peter is under Nero, the emperor of the land, who loved to murder Christians. That's what he loved to do. Nero loved, he's known to wipe out Christian nation, or not nations, but people groups, communities is what I'm trying to say. He's known to wipe out Christian communities. He loved massacring and killing Christians. That's what he loved to do. And Peter says, honor the king. This is very interesting to me. This man hates you. Peter says, did Peter say, cuss him out? He said, honor, respect, and appreciate. Let me ask you this. Regarding former President Donald Trump, when you call him the orange man, is that honoring? 45. Is that honoring? I know it's quiet up in here, but is that honor? Well, 45 said, is that honor? The orange man, is that what believers are supposed to be doing? Or now Joe Biden, our current president, Psycho Joe, is that honor? Or Sleepy Joe? That sounds like honor to me, right? We're honoring him, Sleepy Joe. That, is that honor? Is that respect and appreciation? Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, one of the worst Roman governors ever to live. And not one time did he dishonor Pontius Pilate. Not once. Peter and Paul suffered under Nero. And not one time do we see them dishonoring the delegated authority. Not one. We're supposed to be saints. We're supposed to be believers. We're supposed to be trusting in God. And we're supposed to look at this word of God and declare that this is the word of God, not somebody else's prophecy, but the word of God. And live by this. But instead, you get caught up with what's going on in society and you begin to dishonor. And the Lord's been getting on me because I have not always honored authority. Oh, we could take it even into your employer and your employee. You're an employee, but you call your boss Fat Joe. Is that honor? Oh, Fat Joe said. The Bible commands that we honor those in delegated authority. Fat Joe, no, that's not honor. That's dishonor. It's the opposite of honor. And Peter says we got to honor the king. Jesus wants us to honor. Paul talks about honor. Matter of fact, in Acts 23, verse 5, Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. This is when Paul was confronted with the high priest. He said, I didn't know he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. I mean, let's take these words literally. You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. Say this out to me. I shall not speak evil of a ruler of God's people. You should not speak evil. So how do we justify speaking evil of our government officials, former President Donald Trump, President Joe Biden, former President Barack Obama, former President Bill Clinton, former President George Bush? How can we justify degrading them and dogging them and speaking evil of them and devaluing them and dishonoring? Show me a verse that gives me the opportunity to do that. Show me where Jesus did it. Show me where Paul, Peter, find somebody that just felt that it was right to dishonor government officials. But we're on social media and Facebook and talking as if this is the right thing to do. And it's dishonor. To slander government authority is never the act of godliness. To slander governmental authority, or in this case, any authority, civil, social, family, church, is never the act of God. It's never the act of God. Well, I don't know. The pastor say, he wants to do that, but I don't know. I ain't going to do that. And I don't think he know what he's talking about. Matter of fact, he not very smart. Is that honor? Jesus, Peter, nor Paul never denied or berated authority. They never did. They never denied its existence, and they never berated authority. Are there times when we must disobey delegated authority? Are there times that we must disobey delegated authority? Yes, but not as often as you think. Yes. But not as often as you think. Matter of fact, Scripture explicitly teaches us unconditional submission to authority. But Scripture does not teach us unconditional obedience. Let me say it again. Scripture emphasizes unconditional submission to authority. But Scripture does not teach unconditional obedience. We find that Acts chapter 4, verse 18 and 20. Acts chapter 4, verse 18 and 20. It says, so they called them and commanded them to speak So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, rather it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so here they are. Authority tells them, don't preach in the name of Jesus. That's what authority says. Well, we don't have to always have unconditional obedience to that. We're going to preach in the name of Jesus. And they said they're going to go ahead and continue to do what God has called them to do. The only exception for disobeying authority is when authority tells you to do something that directly contradicts God's written word. The only exception for disobeying authority is when authority tells you to do something that directly contradicts God's word. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 18, Daniel chapter 3, verse 18, we find here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were supposed to, you know, bow down to the golden image. That was a command. And in verse 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So the Bible explicitly tells us, don't serve any other god but the Lord. And now Nebuchadnezzar, whom God put in position, scripturally, we've seen that, tells him to do something different. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We are not going to serve another god. Scripture tells us we are to serve the Lord God. Come on, somebody say amen. You are released from obedience when authority tells you to sin. You are released from obedience when authority tells you to sin. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Remember, Darius put out a law that says you're not supposed to pray anymore. Don't pray. Only pray to me and then or to my God and that sort of thing. And Daniel says here that he knew the writing in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. There was a direct command. Don't pray. No, we got an explicit command from God that we're going to pray. If current President Joe Biden just somehow says, churches, close your doors, you can never open again, I submit to you that we will still have church. I don't know if you're still coming, but we will still be here. Amen. How many of you still coming if that happens? Amen. We're going to still have church. We're going to open the door. We're going to have church. We're not called to unconditional obedience, but we are called to unconditional submission. And even though we're not called to always obey, we're to still keep a humble and submitted attitude. That means I don't go and say, hey, sucker, sleepy sucker, psycho Joe, you don't tell me. No. That's not a humble, submitted attitude. You say, hey, I respect the authority that you have in the land. Governor Roy Cooper, I expect the authority that you have in the land. But the word of God says that we are to meet often. The word of God says that we are to fellowship one another. And I'm to preach the gospel. So I respect what you're saying, but we're going to go ahead and preach the gospel. We're going to go ahead and meet. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, what happens when God appoints delegated authority and he anoints them and ordains them? Then what is our part and what is God's part in this? Well, look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 21 through 24. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Acts chapter 12, 21 through 24. On the chosen day, Herod came before them, arrayed in his regal robes, sitting on his elevated throne. He delivered a stirring public address to the people. And at its conclusion, the people gave him a round of applause. The crowd shouted, these are the words of a God and not a man. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness, an infestation of worms, because he accepted the people's worship and didn't give glory to God, and he died. But the hope of God's kingdom kept spreading and multiplying everywhere. So what are we supposed to do when God's authority, delegated, appointed authority, is not in obedience to what God wants to accomplish? What are we to do? We're to let God handle it. Let me say it again. We're to let God handle it. Let me say it again. We're to let God handle it. Are we to storm to the White House and kick the door down and say, in the name of Jesus? No, we're to let God handle it. God is the one who brings judgment on authority, not you. God is the one that puts one and displaces him with someone else. God is the one to do that, not you. Our job is to honor authority. Our job is to recognize that authority exists because of God. Our job is to know, hey, God is the one, through his sovereign and permissible will, that allows these leaders to even be in this position. We're going to honor them. We're going to submit, but we don't have to obey. When there's a direct command that it violates, not a prophecy, the written word of God. The written word of God. Then, and only then, do you have the ability to disobey it. What's our part? Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand, or the power, the word hand, of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Look at me. His heart is in the hand of the Lord. You either believe that or you don't. His heart is in the hand. That word hand is the word control or power of the Lord. And like the rivers of water, God turns it wherever he wishes. This is really interesting. Because in the day and age we live in, we got to beat, well, I've got to beat the door down. I've got to let everybody know that how wrong this person is and how wicked this person is. And former President Trump, I mean, he's a wicked criminal. And President Biden, I mean, he's a sleepy psycho Joe. He's going to die up there. I've got to let people. This is what people are saying, Tasha. Christians are saying this. Dishonor. Complete dishonor. I'll not have it at True Life. We're going to honor authority. Now, Sam, Harry, Moe, and at Reverend Blue Blues Church, they can do what they want. But over here, we're going to honor authority, and we are going to recognize that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord turns it whichever way he wishes. I like in 1 Timothy 2:1-3, 1 Timothy 2:1-3, I urge you. Paul's talking here again. First of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. People have lost their dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. I was watching a video on Instagram last night, and this poor woman has lost her dignity. Christian woman. Oh, President Trump comes, oh God, oh. Get yourself together. You pray for these leaders, and you know who your God is. Whoever changes every 4 to 8 years ain't your God. You didn't lose your dignity. You didn't lose your job because the office switched. You still got up and should have been drinking your water and working out. But instead, people have literally lost their dignity in what's happening here, and we've got to pray. We've got to intercede. We've got to have supplications and begin to give thanks, because God can change the heart of a person. God can change their heart, which will change their direction, and he can change their decision making. He can do it. But he requires us to pray, to intercede, and to believe him to do what he knows that he can do within any particular person. People said, I can't believe God was using Donald Trump. I heard that. I can't believe God would ever use Donald Trump. First of all, if God can use you, he can use Donald Trump. Don't get so high and lofty that I can't believe God is using somebody. If he can use a donkey, he can use you, and he can use Donald Trump. I can't believe that God is using Joe Biden. Get yourself off your high horse and say, God can do anything. He can change the heart of any person. He can get his agenda done through anyone. But instead, oh gosh, what these next 4 years, oh, what's going to happen? The prophet said, oh my gosh, get your Bible in your hand. I like what Matt told me one time. I had never thought about it, but Matt told me, you know, Jonah's prophecy never came to pass. He prophesied destruction. It never even came to pass because the mercy of God saved the people. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. We toss to and fro, and the news media saying this, and prophet so-and-so has said this, and my grandma has said this, and my son thinks this, and social media said this, and we've lost our dignity and our godliness. Our lives should be marked by dignity and godliness. People should know whom our trust lies. It's getting worse and worse. Every 4 years, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I think I'm going to have to preach this every 4 years. I already got it locked up. Every 4 years, I'm going to get up here and preach the same thing, because somebody going to lose their mind. We're to pray. That's what the saints do, to pray. We, through our prayers and intercessions and supplications and giving of thanks, we have the ability to intercede on behalf and literally have a governmental official and an agenda changed. Amen. That's the power of prayer. Literally. Change an agenda, change a situation, literally change it. It's the power of prayer.
You have been listening to the ministry of Devon Alexander, pastor of True Life Fellowship Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more information, go to our website at www.truelifefc.org. You can also support this ministry financially through our website. Thank you, and remember to love, learn, live, and lead.